having already said, "Take my life, for I cannot give it to thee," let us now say with deepened conviction that without Christ we really can do nothing. "Keep my life, for I cannot keep it for thee." Let us ask this with the same simple trust to which in so many other things he has so liberally and graciously responded. For this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. There can be no doubt that this petition is according to his will, because it is based upon many a promise. May I give it to you, just as it floats through my own mind again and again, knowing whom I have believed, and being persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him? Keep my life, that it may be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Keep my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Keep my hands, that they may move at the impulse of thy love. Keep my feet, that they may be swift and beautiful for thee. Keep my voice, that I may sing always only for my King. Keep my lips, that they may be filled with messages from thee. Keep my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Keep my intellect, and use every power as thou shalt choose. Keep my will, O keep it thine, for it is no longer mine. Keep my heart, it is thine own, it is now thy royal throne. Keep my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Keep myself, that I may be ever only all for thee. Yes, he who is able and willing to take unto himself is no less able and willing to keep for himself. Our willing offering has been made by his enabling grace, and this our King has seen with joy. And now we pray, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 17 and 18. This blessed taking once for all, which we may quietly believe as an accomplished fact, followed by the continual keepings for which he will be continually inquired of by us, seems analogous to the great washing by which we have part in Christ, and the repeated washing of the feet for which we need to be continually coming to him. For with the deepest and sweetest consciousness that he has indeed taken our lives to be his very own, the need of his active and actual keeping of them in every detail and at every moment is most fully realized. But then we have the promise of our faithful God, "I, the Lord, do keep it. I will keep it night and day." The only question is, will we trust this promise, or will we not? If we do, we shall find it come true. If not, of course, it will not be realized, for unclaimed promises are like uncashed checks. They will keep us from bankruptcy, but not from want. But if not, why not? What right have we to pick out one of his faithful sayings and say we don't expect him to fulfill that? What defense can we bring? What excuse can we invent for so doing? If you appeal to experience against his faithfulness to his word, I will appeal to experience too, and ask you, did you ever really trust Jesus to fulfill any word of his to you and find your trust deceived? As to the past experience of the details of your life not being kept for Jesus, look a little more closely at it, and you will find that though you may have asked, you did not trust. Whatever you did really trust him to keep, he has kept, and the unkept things were never really entrusted. Scrutinize this past experience as you will, and it will only bear witness against your unfaithfulness, never against his absolute faithfulness.